The world has shifted its focus to Afghanistan. It's what President Obama calls the good war. But what does that say about Iraq? High-profile bombings remind the world that Iraq is still a war zone, and the U.S. hopes to use the national elections there to help speed its withdrawal. And somehow, U.S. officials in Baghdad, without any hint of irony, accuse Iran of foreign interference. This week on Fault Lines, we interview U.S. Ambassador to Iraq, Christopher Hill, about these issues, and we ask him, is the U.S. finally ready to apologize for the devastating human cost of the war?
The situation in Iraq has improved. Violence has been reduced substantially from the horrific sectarian killing of 2006 and 2007. Al-Qaeda in Iraq has been dealt a serious blow by our troops and Iraq's security forces, and through our partnership with Sunni Arabs. The capacity of Iraq's security forces has improved, and Iraq's leaders have taken steps towards political accommodation. In short, today there is a renewed cause for hope in Iraq, but that hope is resting on an emerging foundation.
A series of recent bomb attacks over several months has cracked the veneer of the narrative that the U.S. is succeeding in Iraq. The most recent, and the worst attack in Baghdad in over 2 years, left at least 160 dead. Twin blasts near the Justice Ministry and the Baghdad government. The bombings occurred just hours before Iraq's leadership was scheduled to meet with the heads of the political parties in order to reach a compromise on the election guidelines needed to hold the January vote. The October 23rd bombings are a reminder that ethnic and religious tensions have not disappeared in Iraq. Baghdad remains a capital divided. Walls and checkpoints separate Sunni and Shia neighborhoods.
In Iraq, you have a mythology that now has become the dominant story, that the surge worked. There were a number of factors that resulted in what was a perceived reduction in violence, not the least of which was the ethnic cleansing of Baghdad in 2005 and 2007, where you had the Shiites essentially knock everybody out of the city, and that, by its very nature, reduced the level of violence there, and you had people kind of go to their corners.
Although the U.S. has paid off thousands of Sunni fighters, creating the awakening movements, and so far, Muqtada al-Sadr's Shia militias have been restrained, tensions remain, and it wouldn't take much to reignite the country. The world's media attention has focused its gaze almost entirely on Obama's war in Afghanistan, until recently nicknamed the Forgotten War. Ironically, it's Iraq that seems to be forgotten. Just 1% of media coverage in the U.S. is currently devoted to the war and occupation of the country.
I intend to remove all U.S. troops from Iraq by the end of 2011.
The narrative that the White House is pushing now is that America's involvement is winding down, with Iraqi security taking the lead, and that security is getting better. The United States military pulled out of the cities in June, back to their bases. But people are still dying, and the violence is still growing, at least temporarily. There are still over 1.5 million internally displaced Iraqis, and millions of Iraqi refugees have fled the country. And what has still not been addressed by the new administration is the cost of the war in human terms. Estimates range from 85,000 to over 1 million Iraqis killed. No talk of reparations, no apologies.
You see the Obama administration adopting a strategy where they want to reduce greatly the number of U.S. forces doing the fighting, but they want to have U.S. advisors attached to Iraqi military units and have those Iraqi military or police units go out and do the bulk of the fighting. Effectively continue the U.S. mission in Iraq, but have Iraqis taking the brunt of the casualties, the deaths, the injuries, doing the interfacing with the civilian population.
A strong political, diplomatic, and civilian effort on our part can advance progress and help lay a foundation for lasting peace and security. This effort will be led by our new ambassador to Iraq, Chris Hill.
Enter Christopher Hill.
Hi.
Al Jazeera is banned from operating in Iraq, but Christopher Hill agreed to grant us a satellite interview from the U.S. Embassy in the Green Zone, just days before the blast in Baghdad. A career diplomat, he's best known for his appointment by President George W. Bush to represent the U.S. at the six-party talks to resolve the North Korean nuclear issue. During that time, he was often criticized as being addicted to the limelight. Although he served under Bush, his nomination by Obama to the Iraq post was opposed by some key Republicans.
And have rejected retribution and a new cycle of violence.
They said that his past dealings with Congress over North Korea were evasive and unprofessional, and that he had no experience in the Middle East, nor of working closely with U.S. military in a counterinsurgency or counterterrorism operation. Now, with the stakes as high as they've ever been since the U.S. invaded, Christopher Hill finds himself as the senior U.S. representative in Iraq.
Ambassador Christopher Hill, the U.S. ambassador to Iraq, thank you very much for joining us on Fault Lines.
Thank you.
How concerned are you about the security of Iraq in the next year? It seems like there have been a number of high-profile bombings just recently, and some fairly large bombings, including on August 19th, where the Ministries of Foreign Affairs and Finance were both bombed. As these kind of, I think, bombings happen, do you worry about needing more U.S. Military to provide security or letting it fall back into a civil war if you don't step in?
Well, first of all, what has been happening is the overall trends have been reduced number of incidents, reduced number of bombings, reduced number of deaths. We are not seeing signs of any renewal of sectarian warfare. On the contrary, we're seeing a lot of signs where people are absolutely sick of this kind of behavior. So the real question is, what can security forces do about it? And I think you can see that the insurgents, while they continue to commit these acts of terrorism, have not been successful in converting this into a sectarian war. So, I think the Iraqi forces are dealing with it, and I think the Iraqi public's dealing with it.
Speaking of the Iraqis and the years of violence, the Iraqi government recently put out a number of 85,000 Iraqis killed from 2004 to 2008. A lot of other organizations, medical organizations, have said that's very low. They put the numbers at anywhere from 600,000 to all the way up, really, to a million. The U.S. has been very clear about keeping a body count of how many soldiers have died over there, but General Tommy Franks kind of famously said, we don't do body counts, talking about deaths on the other side. I'm wondering, what is the U.S. position on how many Iraqis have been killed during the violence?
I think there are figures. I'm sorry I don't have the figure on the top of my head, but what I can tell you is we deeply, deeply regret the loss of any life here. I mean, I have signed a number of condolence letters myself. I have met with the families of victims. I've met with the widows of people who have died, and sometimes because of U.S. actions. This has been a very difficult period for Iraqis, and by not being able to give you the figure off the top of my head, it is not because I somehow don't feel it's important to know how many Iraqis have died. We know that many Iraqis have died, many thousands of Iraqis have died.
I have to ask now at this point, was it worth it?
There are very strong feelings in the United States about the question of whether it was worth it. In many ways, many people in the U.S. are divided over what the appropriate answer is to that question. But what I do know is that Saddam Hussein was one of the worst dictators we have seen in a long time. He himself was responsible for so many wars. If you look at the results of the Iran-Iraq war, and you can see a lot of that as I travel down from Basra down to Qasr, you could see the results of that terrible war. So many tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people killed. You can see the results of what that man and his regime did to this country. So I think when you look at the question of was it worth it, I think you also need to look at the fact that what this person did to Iraq.
It also must make it difficult that President Obama has been very public about saying that the war in Iraq was a mistake. Is the U.S. administration prepared to ever officially apologize to the Iraqi people?
Look, what we did was we took down one of the world's worst dictators. And I'm not sure anyone should do any apologizing for taking down one of the world's worst dictators who was responsible for so many wars and so many executions, deaths, and really for leaving
the country.
Hold on, Ambassador. In a very terrible state.
The president has said it was a mistake. President Obama said it was a mistake. That leads to, one would think, an apology, no?
I don't need to comment on President Obama's words. They speak for himself. I don't need to comment on what the president has said. I'm trying to answer your question, being here in Iraq and dealing with this with the situation here. And what you are suggesting to me is I need to apologize for getting rid of Saddam Hussein. And what I'm trying to acquaint you with the fact is that Saddam Hussein was a pretty awful individual who did a lot of damage not only to Iraq but to the neighborhood, the war with Iran, the war with Kuwait. I mean, these were terrible, terrible things. So to me, it's a little surprising that you seem to think that the period of Saddam Hussein was some type of period that you would have preferred to see go on.
I don't think anyone cares to defend Saddam Hussein. It's just when the president says that the U.S. actions were a mistake and you yourself admit
the terrible cost and price of it.
It sounds like the administration may at one point want to apologize to the people that it made that mistake against Iran.
I have no intention of apologizing for the fact that that Saddam Hussein is no longer president. Now, if you think Saddam Hussein, if you think that era was something that should have continued, I think you should really talk to some Iraqis about it, because I don't hear a lot of sympathy for the Saddam Hussein period. What I do hear from very many people here, and what I hear, you know, very, very frequently, is the fact that this has been a very difficult time. And we all know that, and we're all trying to deal with it. And so my job is to try to make this period better, to try to look for solutions to things. If it's a question of getting more investment, my job is to see if I can get American companies to come here to work with people. We have a lot of humanitarian projects. We're trying to do women's empowerment, trying to do a lot of good things for this country and to try to help. And that's really what my focus is. And when President Obama sent me here and I arrived in April, this is what I've been trying to do ever since then. This is what I'll continue to do.
Welcome back to Fault Lines. Ambassador Hill, the Iraqi government has accused Syria of at least protecting the people who are behind the August 19th bombings. Does the U.S. support the idea of a U.N. tribunal investigating in Baghdad?
You bet we are supportive of Iraqi efforts to deal with this, and we're also supportive of their concerns that they can't just handle this from inside of Iraq. They need to, you know, look at where these networks are coming from, who is actually supporting them. The Iraqi government certainly has some ideas about how this is being done, what countries are involved in it. So what the United States is doing is we are talking to a lot of partners of ours, including countries in the UN Security Council. We are talking to the UN Secretariat about what is the best response, what is the best approach that the UN as an international body can take toward this.
I'm trying to get a clear sense of the U.S. position, though. The Maliki government has been very clear that they want a UN tribunal. Does the U.S. support the idea of a UN tribunal or not?
The U.S. is working with the U.N. We are working with other Security Council members to see what is an appropriate response. Rather than turn this into some bureaucratic issue of, you know, whether they have a tribunal or an envoy or something like this, one should not lose track of what has been going on. These are crimes against human beings, against innocents, and people need to keep that in mind.
So to be clear, at this point, you are not ready to say you support Maliki's call for a UN tribunal?
We support Maliki's effort to deal with this problem and to understand this problem may not just be an internal Iraqi problem. We will support actions that are actually sustainable, that actually happen, and therefore we need to work in the UN on consultations, and that's what we're doing for now on this.
Fault Lines recently interviewed Brzezinski here in the U.S., and he says that for Israeli planes, and Israel, of course, is saying all options are on the table with Iranian nukes, for Israel to bomb Iran, they would most likely go through Iraqi airspace, and the U.S. should be able to stop that and turn back their planes. Is there a plan for such a contingency?
Well, again, I'm not going to talk about contingency plans that are being put together by our military or not being put together by our military. But the second thing I'm not going to do is speculate on our reaction to such a very, very hypothetical issue. I think our policy on Iran is really quite clear, and I don't really have anything new for you on that subject.
Well, just to be clear, I'm not asking what the contingency is, or I'm just asking, and I'm not asking a hypothetical. I'm asking, is there a plan?
Well, no, you're asking me to talk about military plans or the lack of military plans, and I'm not going to get into that subject. And you're also asking me what would we do in the event or in the hypothetical event of an Israeli action on Iran. Again, I'm not going to get into hypotheticals.
Well, what's not hypothetical are Turkish incursions into the north. Prime Minister Maliki has been very clear about wanting Turkey to stop coming across the Iraqi border. Does the U.S. support that, and is the U.S. working with Turkey to prevent that from happening?
You know, the U.S. is very committed to our Turkish ally. We work very closely with Turkey on security issues, and what I want to stress is that Turkey has really developed a very, very strong relationship with Iraq. Now, obviously, Turkey has had historically a problem with the PKK. I think Turkey is trying to deal with that with a combination of levers and approaches, and we have very much supported the Turks on this, and we certainly support better Turkish-Iraq relations, and we're very pleased that that is a relationship that is greatly improving.
Ambassador Hill, is the war in Iraq over, and would you consider it a U.S. victory?
Can I say the war is over? Can I say that the violence has stopped? I certainly cannot say the violence has stopped. It has continued. Fortunately, at a lower rate, the Iraqis are increasingly dealing with this themselves. And in the meantime, we have a very active political calendar here, a very active process of the parliament passing laws, having very strong debates on things. So increasingly, you see attributes of this country that you would see in other countries as well. But as for talking about things like victory, let me defer that to the historians.
How important are the upcoming elections, the Iraqi elections, for the U.S., and what do you see happening with the status of Kirkuk?
Well, first of all, the elections are very important. I don't like to say the Iraqi elections are important for the U.S. They're important for Iraq. I mean, these are elections that are really going to set the tone in this country for some years to come. There are a couple of coalitions already formed. You can see there's a lot more coalition building to be done. And then even after the elections, you'll get a kind of second round of very interesting developments as the leading vote getter will try to reach about and get a government. And as for Kirkuk, that's a complicated issue. It's kind of backed its way into the discussions in the parliament or the Council of Representatives, and so it's an issue that Kirkuk can't be solved in the next few days or even in the next few months, but they have to make sure that there's a solution on voter registrations and things like that. So the parliament's really working very hard on this issue. I mean, it's been really going flat out in the last week. So, we're hopeful that they're getting ready to take a vote on a new election law. And once they do that, I mean, we're in full campaign mode here in Iraq.
What do you see happening with Kirkuk, though?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say. You know, the Kurdish position is that it ought to be incorporated into the KRG. And the Arab position is they want to keep it where it is. But I think it's important to understand that we are talking about an internal boundary. I mean, we're not talking about whether Kirkuk stays in Iraq or not. We're talking about an internal boundary. And, I'm confident if everyone stays calm and works through this, we can come up with a solution.
I know credibility of the election must be important to the U.S., especially considering what's happening in Afghanistan right now, with the credibility of their national election in question. But I wonder if the U.S. isn't a little worried about the INA, which seemingly is backed by the Iranians, and the U.S. is kind of in the end game here in Iraq, trying to pull out and reduce their influence. Are you worried about losing political influence to the Iranians?
Well, look, I mean, what we want to see in Iraq is a well-run election on the basis of the law. We want to see an election that's deemed free and fair by international observers, but especially deemed free and fair by the Iraqi people. We want to see an election in which the victors behave well, but also an election, and I think this is a key element of any democracy, you got to see the losers behave well. So that's above and that's above all what we're looking at. Look, there are a number of countries that have had a kind of a tradition of interfering in Iraq, and I hope some of these countries will reconsider that kind of approach, because Iraqis, whether they're Kurdish or Sunnis or Shia, you know, are above all Iraqis, and it's pretty clear they don't appreciate that kind of stuff. I was just down in Basra yesterday, and it's pretty clear they are concerned about foreign countries trying to put money into their election process. And frankly, I think the view is those foreign countries should, you know, keep the money in their own countries and worry about their own elections.
Ambassador Christopher Hill, thank you for joining us on Fault Lines.
Thank you.